Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and blessings, and welcome to another installment of the Gist for Freedom of Faith. This show is produced by acclaimed historian, educator, and author Leslie Gist, and serves as our weekly live online discussion to celebrate the African-American experience by honoring all the people, past and present, black and white, who, with faith and focus, are preserving our rich history through literature, the arts, the skilled trades, and the humanities. We thank you for joining us tonight, and we'd love you to be a part of tonight's discussion by calling in with your comments or questions to 347-324-5552.
Edition of the Gist of Freedom, and I'm your host, Shelley Gaines. And tonight, our guest is Ms. Norma Jean Darden, who's author, model, and restaurateur, and owner of Spoon Bread, Inc., New York, New York. Hello, Ms. Darden.
How are you?
How are you?
Oh, just wonderful on this rainy night. I'm glad to be indoors.
Wonderful. Well, we're so glad to have you on tonight. There's so much to talk about. You have such a varied past. And I just wanted to first start off with how Spoon Bread, Inc. came into being.
Well, let's see. Spoon Bread, Inc. consists of a catering company, and we do wedding and bar mitzvahs and all kinds of parties, special parties, birthdays, anniversaries. And we came into existence because of a cookbook called Spoon Bread and Strawberry Wine, Reminiscences and Recipes from a Black Family, that came out with Doubleday. And that was our little cookbook that sort of chronicled the history of our family from slavery up to today.
Oh, that
and
is
holidays and special things and the way Black people cooked and prepared food. Well, after my sister Carol and I wrote the book, people started calling us to do parties, and that's how Spoon Bread Catering started. And then we moved to 110th Street at the borderline of Harlem and Morningside.
Mm-hmm.
And the building next door just became vacant. The Avon ladies moved, and the landlord asked us to take over the space. And that's how Miss Mamie's restaurant started.
Oh, wonderful.
Then that started packing up, and we opened another one called Miss Maud on Lenox Avenue and 138th Street near the Schomburg Library.
Wonderful. Now, the restaurants, who are they named after?
My grandmother and my mother.
Wonderful.
And my sister Carol does baking over at Miss Maud, and I'm primarily at Miss Mamie's.
Okay, that's wonderful. Now, I'm just curious, when was the book published?
That came out in about the Christmas of 1980.
Okay.
And it's been published ever since, never out of print.
That's spectacular. Now, you must tell us, what is Spoonbread?
Spoonbread is cornbread without flour, so it wobbles.
Oh, okay.
And you have to spoon it out.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's wonderful. And where is your family from?
Well, my father's family was from North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And his father was a slave, actually. He was freed when he was 9 years old.
Wow, okay.
And from the age of 9, he had to be self-sufficient and self-supporting. So he ran around with a little toolbox, and he fixed people's stairs, and he fixed horseshoes. And he made little things, and he could fix clocks, and he was very creative, and he could mow lawns and take care of flowers, and mm-hmm. he made a meager little living.
It's unbelievable. Now, how did, because I read you also were a model, and you went to Sarah Lawrence, so how did you get from Alabama up to New York?
Well, my father got run out by the Ku Klux Klan out of Alabama, and he settled in Newark, New Jersey, where he was a physician for over 50 years.
Wonderful.
Before he passed. And so I was born in Newark.
Okay.
But every mm-hmm. summer, we got a little tag that had our name and our destination and a shoebox lunch, and we were put on the train at Newark, and we would go back to North Carolina.
That is amazing. Now, your dad got ran out of Alabama by the KKK
yes.
because of what? Do you know? Did he tell
yes.
the story?
There was a little boy, and he had a Band-Aid on his arm, and my father said, your arm is broken. You need to have a cast. And he put a cast on his arm so it would heal. And the doctor who had wrapped the little Band-Aid around it ask him, who fixed your arm like that? Because I told you you didn't need it. And the little boy said, the new Dr. Darden. So after that, the doctor was very incensed that anything he said wasn't go.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to my father's brother, who had a big practice there, and he said, this town is much too small for your brother. And plus he was driving around town in a two-tone car.
Oh, okay.
He was just a bit too flashy for that town.
Isn't that something? Well, it's a blessing in disguise, huh?
Yes.
See how things work?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Oh, my goodness. So now, how did you get into modeling?
Well, my father used to put on fashion shows for the NAACP. In his front lawn, and he would invite celebrities over and raise money for them. And I got to meet Dorothea Toles and the Robinson sisters and Audrey Smaltz and all the many wonderful models of that era.
Mm.
And I guess I was influenced by them because when I finished Sarah Lawrence, I wanted to be an actress, but I was tall. And so people suggested that I start to be a model and work my way in.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my game plan.
Okay, but, and what agency were you with at the time?
Wilhelmina. I started out with, like everybody, with Ophelia DeVore. Then I was with Elena Brooks. And then I got into Wilhelmina's. And when I was with Wilhelmina's, I was invited to go to Paris for the Versailles show in 1973.
Wow.
We were all young models, and mm-hmm. I went with Alva Chen and Pat Cleveland and Billy Blair and Beth Ann Hardison, Arlene Dash and Barbara Jackson and a few other models. And Josephine Baker was the headliner with Princess Grace.
Oh,
and
my
believe it or not, they just honored us with a documentary, and we had the opening of the film. at the Paris Theater, and Tiffany's gave us a party and said that we were the models who were instrumental in bringing American fashion to Europe.
Fabulous. Oh,
that is
fabulous.
And then they gave us a big luncheon at the Metropolitan Museum. So we were thrilled to be remembered.
Absolutely. Well, tell us about that time, because, you know, there's a documentary on HBO about called About Face, and it featured Beth Ann and some of the models that you also mentioned.
So
what was that time like in the industry for you when you went over to France to model and meet Josephine Baker? How was that for you?
Oh, that was a thrilling event. And the French designers all applauded. The Stephen Burroughs went, and Bill Blass, and Oscar de la Renta, and Halston, and Anne Klein were the five American designers, and Yves Saint Laurent, and Givenchy, and, you know, the French side. So
mm-hmm.
the French side had the first part of the show, and the Americans had the last part of the show. And the French took up 2 hours with all of their models and modeling, and they threw in singers and dancers and circus acts and everything but the kitchen sink.
Mm-hmm.
And the Americans relied on music and the fashions, and that was it. And they brought we brought the house down. People were stamping and screaming and throwing their programs in the air.
My goodness.
So it was quite an event.
You ladies must have worked that runway, huh?
Well, we had to, because they had hired a choreographer for us, and she quit. So we had to do our own thing. And Liza Minnelli was the star for the American side, and she sang.
Oh my goodness.
So it was quite a show, and now it's been immortalized with a documentary.
And what's the name of the documentary?
The Models of Versailles.
The Models of Versailles. Okay. That's great. And do you know where we can see that, or is there?
Well, it's going to be on Channel 13, I believe.
Oh, it's
going
to be on Channel 13.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's coming up.
Yes.
Great.
And the opening, this was just last week.
Fabulous. Oh, okay. Oh, that's exciting for you.
It was, because I'd almost forgotten about it myself.
Uh-huh. Oh my goodness, that's great! You've said you've already been to the screening, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So then the next step is for it to be on TV. So we need to let everyone know to look for that, Models of Versailles, and then you're this fabulous model. And how do you get into opening up your catering business?
Well, modeling is a butterfly career. You don't expect
mm-hmm.
to do it forever. At least I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed the next step. And it came to me in the form of the food editor of Vogue magazine, because she asked me about my ethnic origin when I told her that
mm-hmm.
We were so close to slavery. She said, "You must have some great recipes."
Mm-hmm.
And I told that to my sister, and she said, "Well, we do. And for the most part, we don't know how to make the dandelion wine that, you know, our uncles could make, or the yeast rolls that they made, or the apple cobblers." So
mm-hmm.
we spent a couple of years going back south, interviewing our relatives and asking them how they did this and how they made their own makeup and what they did to brush their teeth before they had, you know, conveniences, and
okay.
what kind of medicines they made when
okay.
they couldn't afford doctors.
Okay.
And we interviewed relatives, and they brought out their photographs and told us stories. And we started a whole trend in cookbooks, because before then people just wrote recipes.
Mm-hmm.
But now more people are doing memoirs the way we did.
Great. Great. Now, I'm just curious. You said that they made dandelion wine, and then they made their own makeup. You know, for our listeners, like, for instance, if you didn't have toothpaste, what did they use?
Charcoal and salt.
Charcoal.
And baking soda.
Mm-hmm.
And household things to clean their breath and teeth. You know, they weren't given very much in those days. Barely blankets.
I know.
Yes.
It's amazing.
So they had to be ingenious.
Exactly. Now, and your father was a physician, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And your uncle, too?
Two uncles. Which was
okay.
An amazing feat because their father, who was a slave freed at 9, could not read or write. But he was determined that his children would get the education that he had missed. And he worked tirelessly to get all of his boys through college. And then they worked tirelessly on the railroad. They were red caps.
Okay.
To get themselves through Howard in my father's case and Meharry in my other uncle's case. And there was a medical school called Leonard that was a part of Shaw, North Carolina, in my older uncle's case.
That is amazing. So how many boys did he get through college?
Well, believe it or not, he got married when he was 15. He didn't have a family, so he married a 14-year-old woman.
Okay.
And they started having children when she was 16, and they had 13 children, 10 of whom lived.
Wow.
And out of that bunch, he had 3 physicians, 2 morticians, and a lawyer, and that was the boys. And then the girls were school teachers and a nurse.
That is quite an accomplishment.
Little people who couldn't read or write. It certainly is.
You know, so
and
what,
to add to this, there was no school in Wilson, North Carolina, where they were, after 6th grade.
Oh, my goodness.
So they had to go away to missionary school to get through high school, and then they had to put themselves through college. But the first one, they said, was the bell cow. That was Uncle John. And once he got the root, the rest followed.
Unbelievable. So what do you think was the main characteristic that got your family so focused on education and success? Because it seems to have traveled down throughout the generations.
Well, I'm not so sure about that. Because the rest of us came along in the 50s. There were other temptations and cousins who couldn't live up to the legends of the elders.
Okay.
So, you know, that happens. And then the next generation picks up again.
Mm-hmm.
But we were all inspired by them and their stories and their great search for success against so many obstacles in their way. So we were all inspired by that. But, of course, there were temptations out here for cousins.
Right.
And some evolved and some didn't.
Mm-hmm. But that's still quite a family legacy. And your mother and your mother, now what was her profession?
She was a social worker.
Okay.
And also taught school at the beginning before she went back and became a social worker.
Okay. Now, I read somewhere that it was said about your mother that she was one of the most liberated women we ever knew. Is that a correct quote?
Yes, because she worked. She loved to wear slacks. She loved to play tennis. She grew up in a family with all brothers. She was the only girl, and she was very athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And she made up her own mind, and she went her own way.
Okay. That's fabulous.
And her family started out as sharecroppers in Alabama and worked their way to Kentucky and then settled in Ohio. And she sold ice cream and worked in a movie theater to get herself through Ohio University.
Okay.
So we had both parents who had to strive very hard.
So how many are in your family?
Well, there's just me and my sister.
You and your sister. Okay. And then the two of you both work now with Spoonbread, correct?
Yes. And Carol, of course, was a social worker, as our mother was.
And I
started out modeling and acting before I ended up in food business.
Now, I want to ask you, too. I've been to both your restaurants. I love it. The banana pudding is, like, phenomenal.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's done from scratch. The custard is not a box. It's done right from scratch.
Yes, and the fried chicken is amazing, too. So,
yes,
and I know
you.
You're noted for your fried chicken. For
yes,
one, right?
We are.
Okay, so where does the designs of your restaurants come from? Because I want to let people know they're very reasonably priced.
Yes.
You can go there and get a great meal, and it's so, you know, comforting. Where does that concept come from, the design concept?
Well, we want it to be in the neighborhoods that we're in, Harlem,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and we wanted food to be in a cozy setting at reasonable prices because
mm-hmm.
we're in neighborhoods where we have a lot of young families starting out, a lot of elderly people, and we're near hospitals and police stations where people have modest means. And so our lunches are like $6.95,
mm-hmm.
and our dinners, there's nothing here that's over $17.
That is great. That is great. And especially now with these hard times, to know that you can, you know, you still have a place you can go and enjoy. And
everything
that was very smart.
From scratch.
Yeah.
We don't have any cans of frozen things here.
Okay, that's good to know. And how about the whole vegetarian trend?
Yeah, well, we have a lot of things without meat. We
mm-hmm.
used to do our string beans with meat, but we have so many vegetarians. So the spinach is cooked in olive oil
mm-hmm.
and a little garlic, and we have string beans without meat, and collard greens are done with smoked turkey. And, of course, we have a vegetable mix of broccoli and carrots, and that is also done with a little olive oil. So we're conscious of being healthful and not, you know, going, and we don't do a lot of salt either.
Okay.
It's on the table if you want it, but it's
mm-hmm.
on you.
Okay. Okay, that is great.
And
we use
a lot less sugar in our candied yams and in our pies as well.
Oh, okay. Well, I know I like my candy. Yeah, I'm super sweet. So.
Uh-oh. Well, we make it up with a little orange juice and a little cinnamon.
Fabulous.
So you don't really miss it. And we use brown sugar.
Okay.
Not white.
Okay. See, there's options out there.
Yeah.
I tell you. That's great. Now, I know former President Bill Clinton was a customer of yours, correct?
Yes. We were so thrilled the first time he came. We thought someone was playing a practical joke on us because they called up and said, Bill Clinton's coming for lunch. And we went, well, no, that's hysterical. Who are you? And then the Secret Service came in with dogs, and we went, this is real. So he come twice. And
okay.
With his busy schedule, we're thrilled to see him. And then we've had our catering events in his office, and we've been delighted when Hillary was running.
Mm-hmm.
We managed to get in 3 parties for her.
Wonderful, wonderful. And what was he like when you met him?
Oh, he's just brilliant. But he's not the only president we've met. We've done a party. We did Obama's book party.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful.
So we got to meet him. And believe
mm-hmm.
it or not, we worked for George Bush.
That's okay.
Oh, yes, I guess
that's okay. That's okay. That's fabulous. Well, I know, too, I did some of your clientele for your catering business, and I saw in there Beyonce Knowles and the Schaumburg Library and the Jazz at Lincoln Center and Commerce Bank and Trump Place and Merrill Lynch. You all are just the who's who and I guess catering.
Well, we've
huh?
been really blessed in catering, and we've also been blessed by Wynton Marsalis, who hired us as his menu consultant to work with great performances at Lincoln Center at Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola.
Wow.
So you have to come by, you hear great jazz, and you'll have
mm-hmm.
our fried chicken in that venue.
Oh,
which
great.
Which is in the Time Warner building on 59th and Broadway, 8th Avenue at Columbus Circle.
Wow. Well, Ms. Darden, it sounds like business is great for you.
Oh, we can always have more. And we look forward to any customers you send our way.
That is wonderful. Now, how often do you add new items to your menu? Do you do that, or you just kind of?
We do that. We
mm-hmm.
we have the cake of the day,
mm-hmm.
and we have the pie of the day, and we
mm-hmm.
have the special of the day. And that's our menu is pretty solid because people come and they get very upset if they can't find the old regulars. But
right.
we do put out our special of the day, and mm-hmm. that gives us a chance to explore other cuisines.
Wonderful. Okay. Because now, is everything with a Southern flair to it? Or
not everything, because
okay.
Miss Mamie liked to travel, and so did Miss Maud. So they went to Europe,
mm-hmm.
and Miss Mamie got to Asia and to India.
Oh.
And so that opens us up for food of other nations.
Oh, wonderful.
Special.
And what can you tell us about Miss Maud? Because we know something about your mother.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about Miss Maud.
Well, Miss Maud was fearless, and she lived to be 90-something, although
mm-hmm.
she wouldn't admit it.
Okay.
And she lived in her big house. She wouldn't go anywhere but her big house, and she slept with a little pistol under her pillow.
Mm-hmm.
And she had no protection. She was fierce. And at every age. And she was the belle of the ball in Montgomery, Alabama. And she said she was playing for her church when when John Darden came to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And she accompanied him on Oh, Promise Me. And they were a musical couple and very romantic. And everyone in my family got married at Maud's place in Opelika, Alabama, under her grape arbor. While she played and John sang.
Oh, that's a lovely story. Oh.
Yes, and they were quite the couple in Opelika. And in fact, they honored her memory. And about 5 years ago, we went back to Opelika, and people came from all over the country to say how she had encouraged them to go to school and that she had taught them deportment, how to have manners and conduct themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that without her guidance, they wouldn't be the judges and the teachers and the firemen and have the positions that they hold. And every time someone went to college, she would send them a little spending money in an envelope.
Oh, that's fabulous. What a family history.
She was so devoted to her black culture and to helping and uplifting the people of her community.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, is there any connection with Martin Luther King, being that you all have Alabama roots?
No, afraid not. Just
okay.
an admirer.
Okay, just wondering. Okay, is there anything else you'd like to share with us?
Well, you mentioned Martin Luther King. Before his wife died, we asked her what was his favorite meal. And
mm-hmm.
she said fried chicken and sweet potato pie. So every Martin Luther King holiday, that's what we serve.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's
along
wonderful
with our
story.
Sweet tea.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is so wonderful. I just want to thank you so much for your time, Ms. Darden, and sharing your family legacy and, you know, all the success to you and your business.
Oh,
wonderful.
Thank you. As in these times, we all need that. So I appreciate
it.
Your
Absolutely.
Thoughts and well wishes.
Thank you. So I just want to tell our listeners to please go out there and visit Miss Maud's Spoonbread 2 and Miss Mamie's Spoonbread 2.
And I just want to tell you the address.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Miss Mamie's is 366 West 110th Street, and that's right off the corner of Columbus Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Maud is 547 Lenox, which is across the street from the Salvation Army and up from the Schomburg and the Harlem Hospital on Lenox and 137 and 138.
And they still can pick up your book, and your book is Spoonbread and Strawberry Wine, correct?
That's it.
Okay, available on Amazon and everywhere
yes.
else, correct?
Yes.
All right then. Okay. And also to check out the Models of Versailles.
Yes. Oh, my goodness, we got everything in. I can't believe it. You're wonderful.
Which will be on Channel 13. That'll be something to look forward to.
And they can go to Dizzy's if they want to hear jazz on the fifth floor in the Time Warner Building at Columbus Circle, 59th Street, and tell them Norma sent you.
Fabulous. Thank you so much.
And thank you.
You
have a beautiful and blessed day.
You too.
And
this is thank you. This is Shelley Gaines signing off for The Gifts of Freedom. Just want to tell you to please celebrate your culture. Have a great evening. Good night.
Good night.